Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss what to do when you think a situation is not right for you, but then you realize that you're the problem. So our question comes from someone who tells his boss that his job isn't the right fit, then discovers it's really him, not the job.
Wow, that is a very intriguing situation. How do you know if you are the problem? I hope we get to talk about that.
All right, well, let's just go right to the question, Logan.
Dear My Crazy Office, I am a new listener to your podcast and have listened to a lot of your episodes already. I recently explained to my boss that I'm not enjoying what I do. Although I was never given an end date, I said I would continue to do the role until someone great was found to replace me. Then I listened to your podcast a couple of days ago and realized a lot of my unhappiness was due to me not dealing with stress caused from work in an appropriate manner. I was getting burned out. Although I'm not in love with my job again after this realization, I still want to give it another shot. I've only been in this industry for 1 year. How do I best go about talking to my boss? I'm usually very decisive and reliable, so I feel petrified about coming off as fickle or uncertain. Even if I'm kept on, I fear I won't be given opportunities to grow, as I may no longer seem like a safe bet. Any advice is greatly appreciated.
I think you're, by admitting that you realize that the problem was you not dealing with your own stress, that makes you a better bet than that shows that you're a conscious, living, breathing, growing human. So I don't think that's a problem. I mean, nobody's perfect. Nobody has all the answers. And if you've only been at this job for a year, it's not unusual that, you know, you're growing, you're learning. So I don't think that's a problem. I think it's a great realization.
So you're saying to go lead with the truth.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is multidimensional. One is you still don't really like the job, so I got a problem with that. So if you don't like the job, you know, that what are you going to do? Wait, spend another year at a job you don't like? So this to me is double-edged. But if, you know, the job is not that bad and you feel you should stay for 2-3 years, understanding that you have to learn how to handle your own stress, that's a great goal. I mean, I don't think that's uncommon.
Well, and also sounds like you're what this person, now that he's realized that the problem is him in terms of how he's managing stress, that he needs to buy time no matter what, right? So even if it's a year or two, that to say to the boss, to really come clean and say, I've realized that maybe this part of the issue is that I'm getting burned out and I need to work on my relationship to the job. That really, if I were a boss, I'd be happy to hear that.
I think so too. And I, you know, I don't think you go in and, you know, I mean, it's a serious conversation. You go in and say, I know I said I wanted to leave, but I have some regrets now. And I have some realization, and you might want to give us a little credit that you listen to our podcast, but anyway, that's another story. If your whole company could listen. But anyway, enough about us, enough about us here. You know, what boss would not want to hear that you've reconsidered and you realize that the job was getting to you, that it was you, that it was your reaction, and that you want to give it another try? I think that's really terrific.
Do you have to apologize in some way or not really?
I think just this conversation is an apology. But not, it's not like I made a big mistake. It's that I recognize that I had some growing to do. Now, like, I don't know how far along this has gone. I don't know if the boss has got an ad running or they've offered the job to somebody else. I don't know how far it's gone. But if it's not too late, this could be good. But I'm still concerned that you don't like the job. And that,
well, they could still stay in the industry but get another job.
Because the thing is, if you say this and then you don't stay for a long period of time, like, what's that about?
Right.
So, you know, maybe you don't, if the job is wrong, then it probably is time for you to go. And you had a great realization about the job and yourself.
That in the next job, you don't want to stress yourself out and get burned out, that kind of thing.
Well, that you have a tendency to get burnt out and think that it's about the job when it's actually about the way you're dealing with the job.
Yeah, you know what I was really thinking about? This is one of those situations that I think really warrants getting some professional help, like working with a career coach or a career counselor or somebody who can help you kind of untangle what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Whether you stay or go. You've got to figure out, I mean, this is something, Kathy, you work with people all the time about. We do executive coaching about that ability to have clear boundaries with your job. Mm-hmm. But there are so many levels to it, right? Because it could involve the culture of the place. Mm-hmm. It could involve that particular manager or boss who you're working with and how much they ask of you or how clear they are or how well you're managing up. So there's a lot to really discern in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it seems, you know, somewhat straightforward, but I think Catherine's right that it can get multidimensional. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact that all the problems on the job, and now you realize that a great amount of the problems are on you, that's tremendous.
It sure is.
That you've untangled a big, big part of the problem.
Right.
But there's still more to this problem, right, which is, you know, where really, what is your next step that has to be figured out?
Right. Right. So I was thinking if you worked with someone, you could, on the one hand, figure out how to take better care of yourself while you're still at the job, if you decide to stay for a while. And on the other hand, what are the behaviors you don't want to bring forward, right, to even this place or the next one? And then what is it that you really want?
And I think there's a great lesson here for really all listeners to just be thinking about, you know, you can bitch about your job as much as you want. And certainly, I mean, you go anywhere and people are bitching about their jobs and their coworkers and their bosses and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, stop for a moment and just think, well, really, what is the problem here? You know, is it the job or is it my reaction to these people? Is it my reaction to...
Yeah.
You know, their limitations, or maybe there's something about them I don't like and that reminds me of me. Like, what, I break it down. Like, what is really bothering you? Because some of those signs are going to point right back to yourself. I mean, I love this question because I think it's very relatable for all of us.
And honest.
Yeah. Very honest.
I was just thinking, in working with you is killing me, we have that inventory exercise that you take, you know, where you say, what's happening here?
Right.
What are the facts? What's their part? What's my part? And what are my options? And I think that this person has done some version of that.
That's right.
And needs to do it further, like further understand what is it that the company may be doing or the job may consist of, and yet at the same time, what is it that I'm doing? And therefore, what are my options in terms of how I can act differently, but also find something that's more fulfilling?
Mm-hmm.
So taking that inventory, I think, is a very good first step.
Right. I mean, this is all about self-exploration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know people that stay at companies and jobs for many years, and not every year was beautiful. You know, they had to figure out all the time because if they loved their work, like what was it that they had to learn to cope with or adjust to?
Right.
So, you know, it's doable that you can stay at a job if you break it down and figure out what's manageable.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, by managing yourself.
I know I had that experience when I worked for the Healing Foundation many years ago, and I was having a hard time because the boss, who was a wonderful person, just didn't have time to dedicate to the business. And it really took actually being in a business group, one of your business groups, Kathy, at that time, to really be able to see who was doing what in this situation. And actually, they were able to tell me that the premise and the foundation of the business couldn't work. And that was such a relief because I kept feeling guilty and like I was failing and what I wasn't doing things correctly. But they also pointed out to me the communication skills that I needed to clarify and to even express that this isn't working out.
Right, right.
So I just think another perspective really helps in these situations.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back and talk about how do you know that when you're the problem at work.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now back to our show.
So welcome back, everyone. We're going to address the topic of how do you know if you're the problem at work?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say blankly, a good chance it is you. It's a good chance because the workplace is what it is. You know, you go in, you clock in, you got to do your job, and then you leave. I mean, it is what it is. It's not that complicated. I mean, some jobs are very complicated. But in general, you know, the workplace is full of stress and, you know, uneasy people that you have to deal with and all kinds of stuff. But it's generally the problem is our reaction to work. That's what I want to say. What do you want to say, Catherine?
I want to say that I don't agree that you're always the problem.
Ah, there you go.
I do agree with the reaction part, though. I do. So, but I think that if you, it's what's interesting is many times, Kathy, when you and I go out and speak publicly, that's one of the first questions people come up and ask us, right? Mm-hmm. We're busy talking about unhooking or coping strategies or mean girls at work. And you always want to know, what's my part in this? Like, what, how am I adding to this problem, or am I creating the problem? And what I would say is a good indicator is if you've had this problem, exact same problem, more than once. How's that? In more than one job setting.
Now, many people come to me and said, this has never happened to me.
Yeah.
And they've been working, you know, in senior positions for a long time. Because I think you still run into situations that are like, what?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
So I think definitely if you run into it repeatedly, then that's clear.
Yeah.
But their first time.
Where you still may be the problem.
Well, your reaction is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But that's assuming that you're human, right? So you're going to have a reaction one way or another. So then if you know that you're if you can figure out what part of your reaction is adding to the problem, then you can start to create a better outcome.
Yeah, I've seen, because, you know, the Mean Girl book came out, I've seen a lot of people call me and they had never really met, never had an issue with a woman boss or a woman coworker, and then out of nowhere they do.
Yeah.
And it's not just their reaction, it's also, in fact, that they're being sabotaged or that they are being stabbed in the back. I mean, that kind of stuff does happen and it doesn't always repeat. But but still, you know, this stuff is, that's the workplace. That's what the workplace is. You know, if you've been in a workplace where you've never had that, you stay there. You're lucky because that's not typical. The workplace is competitive.
Right. So I guess what I was saying is that there are ways in which you may consistently add to the problem or contribute to a problem, or in some cases create a problem. And, you know, if there's, for example, a certain kind of role that you get caught in, right? And you know, like, let's say you're wherever you go, somehow you find yourself to be in a bit of a martyr where you're taking on everyone else's responsibilities and you never sleep and you never eat and you don't take your vacations, and you find that you do that consistently, I'd say you're the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That there are those, there is what you bring to the job, which is your own beliefs, thoughts, behaviors that cause you problems, probably at home also.
Yes,
as well. You know, I said something to a client the other day. Could this be the problem? And he said, "Oh my God, that's what every woman I've dated said." So you know, he that behavior was part of his entire being, and it wasn't working for him.
Yeah.
So there is definitely that. And you know, the thing you always have to remember is it is about you. I mean, there's nothing you can do, really. You can't make the other person change.
Well, right. So, but see that, I think if you find yourself trying to make the other person change, then you are part of the problem.
Right.
Or if you're in a power struggle, it's so interesting to me because often if you have like a tough boss or, you know, a really difficult customer, it's very easy to just complain about how that person is behaving, but you may not be aware that you're actually caught in a power struggle. Mm-hmm. You're trying to win something. And if you are caught in that struggle, you're part of the problem.
Right. And, you know, there's many times the workplace offers us a variety of, you know, obnoxious stuff. Like, it could be the economy. It could be a competitor that's bringing your company down. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen at work that are very stressful.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you may not be the problem, but your reaction to what's happening
Could be the problem. Right. If you're acting out or short fuse or passively aggressively
or
responding.
Over drinking because, you know, you can't handle what's happening
during the day. Yeah. You got your vodka flask in the drawer. That could be a problem.
Or pop another OxyContin because, oh my God, this place is so crazy. No, we're going out of control here. But, I, you know, most people that come to me, the thing I always have to say is, well, that person is not in the room. You are.
Right.
So, you know, you're the one who's having this strong reaction. So we have to figure out how to change that. That's the beginning, I think, to figuring out whether it's a good job, it's the right place for you.
Yeah.
Like this, the guy who sent in this question, I think this is incredible that he was able to see that he was part of the problem, and now he can really figure out whether the job's right.
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 Because he's taken himself out of the equation.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because what you have to let go of to find out how you might be part of the problem is righteous indignation.
Oh, I love that stuff, though. I hate it being taken away.
You're nodding, Logan. Do you identify with that?
I just think it's very human to think that you're right.
Right.
Most of the time.
Absolutely.
I would agree with that. And what's wrong with that?
Where's the problem? Where is the problem? Now I don't see the problem anymore.
Most of the problems in my house are around that issue. Uh-huh. Who's right?
Right.
Right. And then there's the unfairness of certain things, which can, again, trigger not a great response on your part if you have a very strong fairness orientation. Also, if you have strong envy or jealousy of certain kinds of behavior, so if you, like a self-promoter drives you up the wall, chances are you're not going to respond to that person particularly constructively at work. So I think it's just great to know what your weaknesses are and what your tendencies are. Because, I mean, for example, the righteous indignation, I totally identify with that. And I know that when I'm invested in being right, it rarely resolves a conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rarely. Never, actually.
Yeah, it's true.
Unless I bet somebody on something and then I win the bet. But that's not usually a conflict.
That is very rewarding, though. Let's call it what it is. Yeah, winning is good. But anyway.
Yeah, so you're the problem.
Yeah, sir.
we're all the problem.
We're all the problem.
It's a good way to start figuring things out is by taking that position.
Right, or what we said before, I think one finger pointed outwards, you've got three pointing towards yourself. So just it's always good to see how you might be the problem in whatever situation you're in. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to SK2, follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.